All right, hello everyone. Can you hear me fine? I'm sorry. So my name is Adam, and I'm here for a talk about Linux distributions and containers and life cycles and how it somehow relates together. I work for Red Hat as a software engineer, and I'm mostly working on Fedora. So that's the upstream project. We have a booth there, so you can come and check in. Anyway, I have a question for you. Any developers here? All right, cool. We have a few. So, like, as developers, right, what we want, if we're developing stuff, we want to reuse as much as possible, and we want to use libraries and languages, and we might need a specific version or the newest features as possible. And that's basically how we make our work easy, right? So we need variety and new versions. All right, I wonder if there are some operators, and I know it's a picture of a pilot, but I didn't find any better. Anyone who runs systems, system admins. All right, we also have a few. Cool. So what do you guys need? I think it's quite opposite, right? You don't want things to change much. Maybe, but you also need like a specific version for like an application. You need the system to be reproducible, updatable. I mean, you care about security, you care about other things. So if I put them together, right? So developers want like new things and new features, and they don't really mind changes, but operators want stability and packages and reproducibility and things. So they look somehow like different worlds, but maybe they shouldn't be, because they need to work together, right? Developer writes an application and the operator needs to make it work and maintain it. So how do we make everything work for both? And talking about Linux distributions, so isn't this just packaging? Because that's what Linux distributions do, right? They take software from the upstream and they make it nice, they make it in packages, they update it and everything. But, yeah, sorry, I forgot the slide. So they packaging makes software integrated, tested, updated, and easily installable. So these are all the benefits of Linux distributions, right? Integrated means that if you install something, it'll work with something else. If there are common dependencies, they'll get reused. Tested, we have Fedora QA, and there was a talk by Amita right there. So she talked about Fedora QA. There's like a lot of work being done to make sure that everything works nicely. Updated, of course, you just type DNF update, everything gets up to date. You get some of the security patches, some new features maybe. Easily installable, again, you just search DNF install something, and most things are there. So this is one benefit of Linux distributions, and there's another one. This is a little bit less known. And for example, when I started with Linux, I didn't really care about it and its lifecycle. And I have this statement that it brings an overtime stability to the diverse open source world. I don't know if that means something to you, but I made an image that should like demonstrate it. So this is like the open source world, but it's a little bit simplified. I don't think there are 7 projects. I think there are like millions. But this is about lifecycle on the time scale, right? So these are projects like libraries, languages, and applications that just appear at one time. And they're like someone works on them, and then they maybe stop. There's a new version coming up. And this is just 7, and it's already a little bit chaotic. But imagine there are like millions, right? And you need to make sure that you have all the dependencies and someone maintains them. And if there is a bug, they will fix it for you. So what to do? So Linux distributions somehow like take them, and they pick a few and put them on a separate, like on a lifecycle that's kind of uniform. So it's easier to navigate through and easier to use. And it gets conveniently released, for example, with Fedora as Fedora releases, Fedora 27 has one set of packages, Fedora 28 has another set of packages, and this is kind of old, we now have 29 and 30, but doesn't matter. And there are obviously like multiple Linux distributions out there, right? I have a few examples. I have CentOS, Fedora, Arch Linux, and the difference here I focus on is the length of how long is each version maintained. With CentOS, it's usually like every 3 years, roughly, you get a new version, and it's maintained for like 10 years, so this is good for servers, maybe. Fedora is a little bit faster. We get like every roughly 6 months a new release, and it's maintained for like 13 months, I think. And then you have Arch Linux, which was one of my first Linux distributions, and that's not really like the concept of releases, just like new features just appearing all the time as they come. And then you have some people telling that like Fedora is too fast for them, it's changing too quickly, and they want like something slower. But also the other people then say about Fedora like it's too slow. I need newer versions. So like, what to do with it? But we'll get back to that. So the packaging, I think that sounds good for operators, right? We have packages, we can manage packages, we have life cycles, we have updates, we have transparency, so that's great. But as we saw on the pictures, it's kind of monolithic, right? So there is only one version of every package, and there is only one version of every application in a certain distributions. So can we somehow fix it? Maybe containers? How many of you knew containers, by the way? All right, so think of containers as some kind of isolated environments on your system that can have their own file system, own dependencies, and own everything. And you can make an image and put it on another system, and it should run in a very similar way. So will they maybe fix it? Like if you put it in a container, right? I actually have an example here. So think about containers as like these containers for raspberries, right? You can have like a huge pile, or you can put them in small containers that are easy to transport, easy to manage. If there's something bad, you can just take it out, put another one. So this is like containers, but think about how it's going to look like in 3 weeks. Maybe like this. So containers are great. They're isolated and portable, but they're just isolated and portable, and they don't somehow like fix issues with security and updates. You still need to make sure that you put the right things in them, and I'll get back to it. So containers are great, but I don't think they are a solution for this very problem. I think what we need is like having new versions with the variety and everything for developers, but with the qualities for the operators. And I think this is kind of easy to say, but is it? Can we somehow do it? So there is a project in Fedora called Fedora Modularity, and that's one of the projects I contribute to heavily. We're trying to fix this with a few concepts. So what modularity does, it separates the life cycles of applications from the operating system. And again, I have some fancy graphics here. So, well, not so fancy. So I have Fedora 27, 28, we already saw that, right? So if I look inside, and this is, again, very simplified. It's just a single package, and I have a Node.js example. And I know this is low, but sorry. So Fedora 27, I have Node.js 6 package, and Fedora 28, I have Node.js 8 package. There's just one version in each, right? So this is how we know traditional Linux distributions. What happened in Fedora 29? I suddenly have some choices. So I have 8, 10, 11. So I can choose anyone I want. And when 30 came out, what actually happened was that I could just maybe keep the one I want, or I could skip to the one regardless of the upgrade, right? So it's kind of independent, at least from the life cycle. And this is actually a little bit of lie if you're like from technical perspectives. We are not trying to make portable binaries, so it looks more like this. So we have different binaries, of course, for different distributions compiled and everything for the distribution, but it's the same API. All right, so let's explain modularity, how it works on some concepts. So you probably know packages, right? That's the core building block of Linux distributions. You install packages and manage packages. Dependencies are in packages. Everything is in packages. And there are no changes in there. We're not touching packages. But what we've introduced is these modules and streams. And these are like logical groups of packages representing an application, a language runtime, or maybe a common set of tools. So we figured that if we want to do multiple versions, we shouldn't do it on the package level because that would be too messy. So instead of we do module streams, and so we have like a database or like a language runtime, and we have these in multiple versions. So they are much, much easier to manage. We don't call them versions, we call them streams because they are like streams of backwards compatible versions. So you'll see in a demo moment how it works. Also, if we have multiple versions, we don't want to make people to choose like all the time which specific version I want. So we have defaults, and that basically means that there's always a default one. And if you used Fedora before, you can use Fedora the same way. But if you want to make choice about a different stream, you can do it. And last thing is updates. So this is important very well also. So if you, for example, choose Node.js version 8 and you run the update, you get the latest version 8, but you won't be skipped to 10 or 11. And if you want to skip to 10 or 11, you need to make a conscious choice and you need to make a need to change it manually. So I have a demo, and who likes live demos? I really like live demos, and I don't want to ruin their reputation, so I have a video for you. Again, I didn't know the screen will be so low, so it'll be the terminal like a little bit low, but I'll try to read it for you, and maybe at least the first images will be the command. So you might be knowing DNF already in Fedora. So this is a new command, DNF module list, and that basically lists all the modules that are there. I think this was Fedora 28, so it's a little bit older, but I have Node.js 8 and Node.js 10 there, and I can just choose one and install it. And I'm wondering if the command will be down there eventually. Maybe. All right. So I'm typing DNF module install Node.js, and I say colon 8. And that's how I specify the version I need. And I'll eventually hit enter, and it'll install it. And I'm getting packages as I would normally be getting. Now everything installs on Fedora is the same way as it would before. And I have maybe Node.js 8. All right, I can prove it by typing node-v, and it'll print Node.js 8. And it's right in the corner for those who don't see. All right, I can also demonstrate how the update works. So if I do DNF update Node.js, in this case, I won't get anything because I already installed the newest version. But if I did maybe a week later, there would be a new version of Node.js 8, but not 10. So this is what it demonstrates. Now I'll be skipping to Node.js 10. And this video, it just uses the installation command, but what we realized is that if we make it too easy, people can make dangerous operations because changing a major version is not somehow that easy. So we have changed the process a little bit, so it's not just one command, but it's actually two, but it's documented in the documentation, and I'll point you to that later. But eventually what happens is that you get upgraded to the other version, and now I have Node.js 10. So I do node-v, and I have the different version, and it's all coming from RPMs. It's called a single version of Fedora, so I didn't have to do upgrade or anything. So that's how I can choose the version I actually need for my either application or what I develop. There is one small detail, one nice thing about this. So I said that modules are like groups of packages, right? And you don't have to install all of them, and sometimes there are multiple ways how to install an application. So for example, a database, and I'll be highlighting databases right now, is I can install the client, or I can install the server, or I can install both. And again, I don't want people to dig into the packages and just like figure out which package provides which. So we did something called profiles. And with this functionality, I can say DNF module install the module, and I can do slash the profile. And these are mostly like use case oriented. So I can have with a database, I'm just installing this server profile, and that gives me the service of the database. So again, I need to confirm, and everything comes out. All right, and I can just prove it. I'll just type node and Mongo and tap, and I'll see the server bits are there. I won't be running anything to waste your time. All right, if I want to install the client, I can do the same command, but instead of slash server, I'll do slash client. So let's just do right that. So the same command, I'm just erasing server, typing client, and it'll add the client packages on top of the server. So I can have one or multiple profiles installed. Again, I need to confirm it, and when it's installed and I just type mongo tap, I'll see all the client tooling commands in there. There we go. So typing Mongo, tap tap, and I'll see much more stuff available. So these have the client tools as well as the server tools together on my system. So I didn't have to actually care about the package level, but this is just a bonus. The main thing is that you can pick the stream or the major version of the application that you need without changing the version of the distribution. So it's kind of decoupled with modularity. So having that, let's get back to containers. It looks like I hate containers. That's not true. I love containers. But I like them for what they are. So let's look at them again. So the true container benefits, I think they are mainly two, right? They run almost everywhere. If you have a container runtime and maybe the right version of kernel, it'll just run. And compose and testing can be done up in front. So you can just like build a container, then you can ship it to production. You don't have to manipulate the system in production too much. There are also these beautiful third-party registries that you can just go to, and you can just download the container, and it'll just work on your system in production. Fine, right? What could go wrong? Actually, no, don't do that. There are articles like this. This is like a year old, but actually, someone or a group of people, I don't know, they pushed container images on Docker Hub, but it could be any registry. They were working fine, but they were mining cryptocurrency on your machines, and they mined like $90,000. And so, yeah, you should actually know what you're running. So, but having Linux distributions and having modularity in those versions and having container technology together, we can actually really use them for their own benefit. So why don't we build our own containers? And this is a project in Fedora called Builder. It's for building containers, but really whatever tool you use to build your containers with Linux distributions is quite easy because you leverage the benefits of both of the Linux distributions, which are packaging and life cycles, and of the container. So it's portable and runs in isolation. And I have a few examples. These are like Docker files, which are widely used definitions of the container images, and I just save from Fedora 30. So I think that's self-explanatory. I'm using the Fedora base image, and I'm running DNFY, which is like, yes, module install Node.js 8, or Node.js 10, or Node.js 11, and then the DNF clean is just to make it small in the end. And that's how I can choose like the right version. I have complete control of the container. And what's nice, if there's a security issue or something, I can just rebuild it and use it again, and it'll automatically pick up the update. So this is the getting the best of both worlds. All right, so we talked about Linux distributions, packages, how they're convenient, modularity, how it just gives you multiple versions, and then containers, how you can actually run everything in containers. So what about the OS? Do you actually need to care about the OS? Yeah, I think you should definitely care about the OS, but you can care about it in a different way. You need to be sure that you know what's in the OS, right? For, I don't know, security, privacy reasons, and whatever else, performance and other things. But it doesn't need to be your pet, and I don't know if you're familiar with the pet and cattle analogy, but it kind of appeared with the cloud computing. It's like traditional servers. When you had a traditional server and something broke, you would fix it, right? And you would just care for the system. But so that's like it's your pet, right? But with cloud, if something gets broken, you just kill it and just like get a new one, right? So that's how you kind of can also treat your system. You don't have to repair it. You don't have to manage it with packages. And we have a few projects, actually two projects in Fedora, called Fedora CoreOS. Some of you might have heard about CoreOS, and Fedora Silverblue. And these are container-oriented operating system based on images. And CoreOS is actually coming. It's not released yet, but Silverblue is released. And I have a laptop. If you want to see a demo, you can just find me after the talk. And what's interesting in here is that you don't manage the system by packages, but you have snapshots, you have images. And when you need to update your system, you just download the image on the side and reboot into it. And I have, again, terrible pictures to show you how it works. So, like, yeah, this is my system, and upgrading from orange to green, and just, like, package by package, it gets manipulated, it gets upgraded, right? And you might notice some things that might be dangerous here. What if my, I don't know, power or internet connection just breaks in the middle? Or what if something goes wrong in the middle? I end up with a broken system, right? And I had to work and I had to somehow recover it. But what happens with RPM OS 3, which is the technology that's used in Silverblue and CoreOS, is that for upgrade, I just download something on the side and I simply reboot into it. If something goes wrong, I can go back. If there was a power outage or something, it just the download won't finish. So there's much less space for error. So this is one of the benefits of Silverblue and CoreOS. And again, CoreOS is more for the servers and Silverblue is for your workstation. And Silverblue is currently out. You can try it out. And that's basically it. So again, I talked about linear distributions, packages, modularity giving you choices, containers to run your application in isolation, and then the container OSs for actually running it somewhere on the hardware. And yeah, you can Google any of those things. You should be able to find anything. You can follow me on Twitter down there. And thank you for coming. And do you have any questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. About modularity, can I keep, in general, both modules installed so I can switch in case, suppose I have module X, I upgrade, I run my application that works on the top, and I see bugs or it's not working. So I want to roll back in the former version, but and without using maybe, because some modules come with configuration files as well. I don't want to use the configuration files of the former version. So, like, as far as I know, Java allows you to switch from version to version. So in general, this is a common practice, or only some modules allows you to switch?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So the modular streams I talk about, like you can have Node.js 8 or something, they're usually built in backwards compatibility in mind, right? So whatever you upgrade, everything should work in the same way. Switching from one stream to another is a different story. Sometimes it works, but in general, you need to do a lot of work, exactly. Configuration files, or if it's language runtime, you need to change the application to support the new thing. And that's why we actually get rid of the simple command to just switch it. Now you have to actually either uninstall it and install the new one, or just like somehow disable it and just like get updated to the new one, but that's just only for the ones that are supported. But yeah, like switching stream generally is not a good idea, but it's possible for those cases that are supported.
So I have two questions. My first one would be, when we can expect Fedora CoreOS, if you have any inside knowledge, and the second one is about Flatpaks. Are we expecting them soon to take over, or will there be an operating system that supports both like RPM and Flatpaks?
Good question. So about Fedora CoreOS, we have people working on it, and I don't know where it's come out. So, but yeah, sorry, have no idea about that. But about Flatpaks, I don't know if everyone knows Flatpaks. These are like containers for graphical applications. So you again have an application like Firefox or Inkscape or something that actually doesn't have dependencies on your system, but they're isolated. So you can have, I think, even multiple versions, or you can update them independently. That's what actually used in Silverblue on the containerized desktop for applications. And Fedora Workstation supports Flatpaks out of the box. So if you use, for example, FlatHub, which is like a popular repo with Flatpaks, you can use that, and you can also use RPM. So actually, Fedora Workstation supports both side by side.
My original question was actually if we can expect it to take over, or maybe they will continue to coexist. And
so personally, I would like them to take over because you want to have some independence, right? If it actually happens, we'll need to see. I don't know. I don't have an answer. But yeah, we're already building Flatpaks in Fedora, like based on RPMs. And there's also FlatHub, which is like basically from upstream. So maybe. Any other questions? All right. So thanks for coming. And yeah.